Well, it's been big thank you Sunday. Couldn't have done it without you. On behalf of Andrew and I, thank you again once again. And just in the remaining minutes, let me talk to you a little bit about people-driven passion. You know, if it wasn't for all of us, and if it wasn't for Jesus, you know, Jesus was completely passionate about people. He was totally passionate about people. He would go and he would go to anybody's house and have a meal. He would just love meeting with people. And it's an incredible thing. Thanks for the new water bottle. Fantastic. And the reason the church exists is for people. Yeah. All kinds of people. Hey, church, I said all kinds of people. The reason the church exists is for all, I can't see these guys. I'll have to move around. All kinds of people. How different are we all? I mean, my goodness. What a family. What a mixture. But isn't it great? Isn't it great that we can all work together and have fun together and enjoy God? Brilliant thing it is. Yeah. Come on, let's give yourselves a hand. Yeah, you deserve it. Oh, thanks, Shark. I didn't know I was that good looking. Anyway. And the reason for today, why we do this every year, is because without people who willingly serve in God's house, church would be impossible. We couldn't do it. And the reason we are able to develop relationships after our services in the cafe is because of that willing team, which sounds like they need some more helpers. Maybe you're the person. Just help out through this Christmas period. Anyway, and then there's all the other volunteers. And let me just go to a parable for a moment as I kind of introduce this message this morning. Where in Matthew 22 is the banquet, which Shane preached an incredible message while I was away. Really good message on the banquet. And that was great. You did, didn't you? You think so. Shane. You know, it says this in Matthew 22. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. The king is Father God. The son is Jesus. And each week a feast is prepared for his people in the house of God. I don't know if you're getting this right quite yet. Each week we come together, God wants us to feast on him. We come to celebrate the Son of God. We come to enjoy everything that God has for us. We are so grateful for the life that he has given us. And so, each time we have a service, each time it's a celebration for the Son of God. We come to worship. And this parable has two parts to it. The people the Father has invited are preoccupied and they do not come. Their refusal was a great insult to the King and dishonoring to the Son. And disciples feast on Jesus. Disciples love God. Disciples want to be involved where the party is, where Jesus is going to be. And so they want to be in his presence. How powerful is God's presence on your life? How important is God's presence on our life? And so when we come into the house of God, there is a presence that comes upon us because we've decided that we're putting other things aside. We're not going to, as this parable talks about, we're not going to do our work. We may have been married, but we bring our bride with us. There's all sorts of things that can take up our time or other things, but we prioritize the house of God, and that's why we're able to have a big thank you. And so, it is. It's kind of like we're married to God in many ways. And so, in this case, the Supper of the Lamb actually ends up in Matthew 22. It talks about how the end result was that we're all going to be with Christ in heaven. What an incredible thing it's going to be that no matter how our life has worked out, we're all going to be blessed exactly the same when we reach heaven. It's an amazing thing. And his disciples go to be with him forever and ever. I said his disciples go to be with him. You can believe, but what we're talking about is actually being discipled by God, allowing God to disciple us. And so there's a massive difference. And Jesus says, it is this way, that too many Christians are not worthy of the honor of being with him because they have been preoccupied with their own lives. One goes off to his field. One goes off to his business. One has just become married. They're all legitimate excuses in some ways. But God is saying that when we prioritize his house, that there is going to be a greater blessing come on your own life. And so the field would wait. Hey, your field's going to wait. As Sandy knows, the fruit trees are still there tomorrow, except now they've been sawn down. There's still things. Everything is still going to happen if you just allow a little bit of time for God in our life. He's not saying, I want you to be in the house of God 24/7. He's simply saying, prioritize his house. And so, there are schedules that are more important. We need to sometimes change the way we look at our schedules. And I know it's the end of the year, but since we're talking about big thank yous and all the people that have helped, it's because many of these people have put aside their schedules and said, you know what, I'm going to serve. So many times this year I've heard that I should be in that place, but you know what, Nigel, I know you need me, I'm going to come. I know you, Andrea, I know it, but I'm going to be there. I'll do that another time. And the people who were gathered off the streets, because these people wouldn't come, these people wouldn't come. Oh, my field's more important. My business is too important. I've got so many other things in my life that are so important. Because they wouldn't come and enjoy the celebration. You know, God loves to celebrate with his people. He just finds it quite incredible. And so all these people came in. The riffraffs came in. People that were in prison and now out of prison had come in. There were people that were outcast from society. They came into the house of God and they all rejoiced together. They all rejoiced. They had an incredible time together. See, the feast of Jesus would never have taken place unless his disciples had prepared the way for him. See, the disciples had they'd actually got alongside. When there's a banquet, what needs to happen? There's a lot of work that goes into a banquet. We have this morning after church a morning tea to thank you all once again and enjoy each other's company so that we can share together before we... that's the end of our service. We have food together. Who enjoys eating and drinking together? What an amazing thing. Doesn't it? It does kind of helps get to know people in church too, doesn't it? It's a great thing that we do. And Jesus was doing it all the time. And so disciples have his house ready to receive his guests. So what an incredible thing. The music team is ready to receive the guests on a Sunday morning. The cafe team are ready to prepare the best coffee in Fremantle. I mean, all the Connect group leaders are ready to prepare. They're ready and they've studied a little bit the Word of God. They've got something to bring that is going to bring life to people with it throughout the Connect groups from week to week or whenever they have their... The kids' church, my goodness. What an amazing group of people. Wow. There's just so many areas. Come with me to John 13. Let's talk about what Jesus did. John 13. I've still got my small print Bible. Put my glasses on for a minute. Andrea laughed at me. In fact, she mocked me. Because now I have to write in font 14 instead of 12 so I can read the page. Jesus came as one sent from God. He says these words. In fact, I'm going to read the first couple of verses because it kind of helps. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that this hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He now showed the disciples the full extent of his love. It was time for supper, and the devil had already enticed Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to carry out his plan to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel he had around him. So Jesus comes as one sent from God. And knowing that soon he would endure the cross and return to the right hand of the Father in the place of honor. And yet, Jesus performed the work of a slave. That's what it was like. It was like a slave's job. He prepared. We don't understand it in our culture. It was a terrible thing. That anyone of any priority, any recognition would never do this job. Jesus takes off his robe and washes his disciples' feet. He's the boss. You're getting the full extent of this thing. And one of his disciples was not going to be at the wedding feast of the Lamb. Jesus knew it, but he still washed his feet. Are you hearing me this morning? He knew Judas Iscariot was going to betray him. He mentions it. We haven't got time to look at all the verses. But he still carried out and was still loving, because there's always an opportunity. There is always a moment where God is able to work on a person's hearts and transform them from death back to life. And so even though Jesus knew the truth about Judas, even though he knew his motives, knew his hearts and plans, he still served them all, he still loved them all, hoping in Judas's case that he would repent. He'd turn around. The love of Christ never fails. And today we are honoring his disciples. Today I'm honoring all the disciples in the house of God. Today I'm saying, well done, good and faithful servant, because disciples, they actually are willingly loving the work of the house of God, because it's God's house. And so the main reason for serving in his house is not because there are jobs to be done, but because we are his disciples who love our Lord Jesus. And we desire to see his house filled with his people. People who will be grateful for what he has done for us. Oh, I'm so grateful for what God has done for me. We sang that song, from the depths of the sea. Are any of us truly worthy? Verse 6, look at this. I'm sure there's some of you like Peter. Any Peters out there? When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, why are you going to wash my feet? Peter is incredulous. He cannot believe that Jesus would want to serve him. See, the love of God is beyond comprehension. We don't fully get it. It's a mystery of God. It is beyond comprehension, as it was Peter's. And there is no merit in any of us, as I've mentioned, to commend us to God. You'll go home today and you'll probably do something you wish you'd never done, if you're anything like me. You'll say something to your wife that you wish you'd never said. You get put in the doghouse right before Christmas. Well, is anyone like me? Come on. We do something to our children that we wish we hadn't have done, or we say something, let's not go there. Anyway. But thank our Father who sent his Son so that we can have a fantastic life. We don't have to live under condemnation. He's forgiven us. It's a great thing to have a life of God. Most of the people at the banquet did not deserve to be there. But God loved them into his house anyway. Come on. He's loving his people into his house anyway. Whoever they are, God loves them. Whatever nationality they are, God loves them. Whatever background they have, God loves them. Passion for people was Jesus. And as what Jesus was referring to when he said to Peter, you don't understand why I'm doing this right now, but you will one day. You will one day. See, Peter was finding it difficult to submit to Christ. I'm sure on occasions we all find that a little bit more hard to actually some of the things that God wants us to do. Sometimes it's hard to serve when there's a pooey nappy next door. I'm glad it's not my role. You understand what I'm saying? There are things that go beyond the call of duty sometimes. But we do it because we love God first. You know, I can't remember how many times I've actually gone and cleaned the toilet bowls because I know that there's guests in our house. I don't particularly enjoy it, but I don't want guests to come into the house come on. There are roles in church life. But I want my guests to actually have the best service they possibly can. Why? Because I want them to enjoy the presence of God, enjoy the house. So everything that makes up the house of God is really important. So whatever your role is in church, if it's cleaning the toilets, do a good job. You get my point. Listen to this, verse 14 and 15. Since I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. Wow. What does Jesus say? You ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done for you. See, Jesus could not be any clearer. Look after one another. Care for one another. That's why we have all these different groups that God really had the big plan anyway in the house of God. And we all look after one another. We all help one another. Jesus says, do what I'm doing. And that's what makes a big thank you really worth it. Because everyone's serving, everyone's willing, everyone's doing their part. When someone's ill, when someone's got a need, there's that group of people that know and care for those people. That's what the house of God is all about. It's an extended family. And I know many of you don't have family. You can have a family here in the house of God. God came for every person. No one is beyond having a relationship with the living God. No one. No one. And so, how true it is that a servant is not greater than the master, Jesus says. In verse 16, nor are messengers more important than the one who sends them. There is a very simple lesson here. If Jesus was willing to be a servant, then all of his followers ought to be willing to serve as well. Because that is what disciples do. Disciples serve the King. Disciples serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Disciples can't help but get their hands dirty and get involved in the best role of all, building the house of God. And my observation is that Jesus did not serve the ones he preferred. Now this is interesting because it would have been easy to wash John's feet. It actually mentions that it was his beloved disciple in the Bible. But then there was his brother James, who always wanted to be above the rest. Always had a bit of a chip on his shoulder because Jesus was Jesus. And then Peter was going to deny him three times. Jesus knew that. And he also had a bit of a violent streak. Kind of like chopping off people's ears. There were things about his disciples that weren't really what he really displayed. But isn't that true in the house of God? Isn't it true that we're all a little bit rough in some area of our life, but when we decide that we're all going to just group up and do what God has called us to do as individuals and get involved in the teams, then we have a powerful bunch of people that can build his church. What did Jesus say? Even greater things than these you will do. Man, I'm looking forward to miracles in 2012. I'm looking forward to so many more things than we've had in 2011. And we may not like each other equally. We may not understand each other equally. But God has chosen to put his people together and we are to serve each other equally. And while I'm at it, there's no perfect church. There's no perfect church. But we just do the job that we can do our best for the glory of God. And we have a passion for people. No favourites. Just love one another. You know these things, Jesus says to finish it off. Now do them, in exclamation mark. You know these things, verse 17. Now do them. That is the path of blessing. Guys, that's the path of blessing. When we get together, when we rally together, when we get involved in the house of God and we build our teams and we're involved in certain areas, and those areas may change from year to year, but we stay passionate about God, we stay passionate about people, we become blessed. That's what the Bible says. It's a blessed life. Sure, sometimes we're tired. Sure, sometimes it's difficult to get here some evenings. Sure, sometimes, you know, rehearsals don't go as they should for Christmas. All those things happen. Just slipped out. You know, next week's going to be powerful because it's about us in the presence of God. Because all of us together, it's going to be a great thing. See, the path of blessing is being passionate for people. And when we are more concerned about the welfare of our neighbour, we will be a powerful influence as a church and his people. And that's why we're so grateful that some of the Port Care people have come today. Thanks, guys, once again. Incredible. So, welcome to the marriage feast of the Lamb. When we come together and we're involved in all areas of the church, we are saying welcome to the marriage feast. Welcome, we're coming to celebrate the Son of God together in all our roles because we want to celebrate what he has done for us. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you that you're an incredible God. And I thank you for these church and these servers. And I pray your blessing on each and every one of them. And I pray as we go to have morning tea together that we would enjoy one another, that we would encourage one another, and that we would have a merry Christmas. God bless you, church. Thank you for being a part of 2011 together.